Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. It is Thursday, the first day of September 2011, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. We have Alex Schaefer joining us at the bottom of the hour. He is the Southern California-based painter who painted images of the town burning and of a bank burning, and the police were called by a good see-something, say-something citizen, and the FBI was dispatched. We're going to be talking to him. Also, we're going to be talking to Ted Walter of the New York City CAN program, the Remember Building 7 campaign. And also, we're going to be talking to New York City officer who worked at Ground Zero in the first few weeks of 9/11. He is the founder director of 911 WTC First Responders Foundation. As you know, the first responders have been barred from the official event. Coming up, in 9 days, we are launching, of course, tonight at 7 o'clock, a in-depth news transmission that's focused, condensed, hard-hitting, titled InfoWars Nightly News, and it will premiere at PrisonPlanet.tv. We've got some new pages that direct you directly to the nightly show, the special reports, the daily radio/TV show we call Alex Jones Live, and then, of course, also a new section that's going to be called Alex Rants that are in-the-field reports, video from home on the weekend, at night, behind the scenes, here at the office, a lot of new functions we're going to be launching in the info war as we intensify our operations against the globalist. We not only stay hungry in the fight for liberty, we get hungrier and hungrier and do more and more, and I couldn't do it without my great crew here. We are also going to open the phones up today. There are three articles up at InfoWars.com today, dealing with our very informative interview with Congressman Ron Paul yesterday, one of the major presidential contenders on the Republican Party side, and every major study that's been done, you can pull them up, shows he is the most likely to be able to beat Barack Obama. Ron Paul, feds preparing for breakdown of law and order. I was able to confirm his views that he gave Robert Wanick, reporter, a few weeks ago at the Iowa Ames straw poll, that he was a statistical tie with Bachman, who bought 90% plus of her votes. And I brought up the FEMA centers, and he agreed that they're preparing for collapse because they understand what's happening in the economy because they've engineered it. And I said, but to be clear, you're saying they want to use that collapse to gain more control. And he said, absolutely. So that is the first big report at InfoWars.com. Very important to get out to everybody. Also, Ron Paul, CIA chooses dictators around the world. He further fleshed out his comment to a Liberty Committee meeting where he said the CIA's had a coup in America and they ship in the drugs. Continuing, there's another article by Kurt Nemo. Rick Perry, Globalist in Patriot Clothing. That was the original headline working with Kurt this morning I gave him, but after I looked at it, I thought, look at that quote from Ron Paul in Kurt's article. It says, Ron Paul, Rick Perry is a flip-flopper. I think that's a good point there, and Ron Paul normally doesn't even speak out against his opposition. He just stands for what he stands for, but because Rick Perry's trying to become him, it's very, very important that Ron Paul point out that he's the real McCoy, and that Rick Perry is a cheap attempt to basically dress somebody up like Ronald Reagan who talks like Ron Paul. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Here we are, the first day of September 2011, and in just 8.5 days, it'll be 10 years since the attacks that changed America forever. That's right, our country's been attacked many, many times, but there was never a move to abolish the entire Bill of Rights and Constitution and say that tyranny would keep us safe, when everyone who studied history knows tyranny is the greatest danger in any society, in any civilization. Now, I want to go over some of the news, just give you a brief rundown on what's coming up here on the radio today and some of the guests that are coming up. And then we're going to open the phones up because I do want to take a lot of your phone calls here on the broadcast today. But some of the news we have here, jobless claims are stuck above 400,000 a month. Productivity is falling, and this is the Wall Street Journal. But remember that the government numbers they're using themselves are cooked. And so they're admitting that the economy is in a deep recession, never left the recession. Geithner has called it the greatest recession. And even though they're doing stealth QE3 and other forms of debt monetization, this country, and in fact the entire global system, is in the stranglehold of the globalists. That's what globalism is a financial global directorate designed to destroy sovereign nations, the family, the individual. It's all about conquering you and putting you into an artificial environment, an artificial habitat, like you're at the zoo. Artificial cultures, artificial media, artificial food, artificial information. In fact, here's just a quick example. Driving in today, I was listening to local news radio, and I'm actually going to print these articles off later and get into it if I remember. But I heard two different news items during the news program. And one of them was, oh my gosh, the state has passed a law saying that the school can spank your child. And then the news reporter was saying, how can this be? In the news, they were playing clips of people saying parents can't spank children, but the government can. And it was wrong on so many fronts. So many facets. And sure enough, they then went into the news talk program, and the third caller gave them the Texas Penal Code that I've looked up, and it says a parent or a guardian under state law, and it's the same in every other state, can, will, and should use corporal punishment if needed to maintain safety and order. Do you think schools, when I was in public school 20-something years ago, do you think they, if I did something wrong or was even late to class too many times, would call me into the principal's office and take out a paddle? Do you think they were doing that without there being a law? It's the penal code. But you see the news going along with the hoax that it is illegal for parents to spank their children. It is illegal for you to do serious bodily harm, break a bone, knock out a tooth. That's assault. Well, then you have to ask the question, why then, regardless of which side of this debate you're on, do you know, and it's in the news, about the tens of thousands of Child Protective Services cases every year where they take people's children. You've seen it on the news, where a woman in Target spanks her daughter who's throwing fits and breaking things, just gives her a few spats, and the police are called, she's arrested, and the child is taken. And in many cases, drug off, raped, given STDs, cries for mama, that's mental illness, put on psychotropic drugs, and the kids beg to see mommy and never see her again. And that's normally what happens. Oh, those spoiled brat children find out real quick. The social engineers on record, the American Pediatric Association, the Psychiatric Association, the Psychology Association, they all in the last 60, 70 years have come out and said, don't spank so that parents cease to be parents. And so the state can now come in and be the parent. And the children get out of control. They get into crime. They go to juvenile hall. They get baptized in corruption. And now the police taser them to keep control of them or shoot them. What do you do when a child can't be reasoned with and is 3 years old and keeps trying to run out in the street? The third time you spank them because they don't understand the car can kill them, but they do understand that there's a bad effect when they try to turn the stove on for the third time in a row, when they try to stick a piece of metal in the light socket for the third time, when they climb up on the counter for the third time and try to pull out butcher knives, as children do. When they try to go in the garage and see what's in the gasoline tank for the third time. They want to destroy law and order. So, yes, in the name of allowing spanking and corporal punishment in schools, they passed a law restricting the right of the independent school district, which I don't like government training centers, and I wouldn't put my child in them, but some people don't have a choice. And if you're going to put them in there, they've got to maintain order. But see, instead, in a few areas in Illinois and New York where they do not have corporal punishment, dodgeball's not allowed either because it's seen as aggressive. That's where they have the shootings. That's where the teachers are getting attacked. That's where your kids are being beaten up. That's where there's absolutely no control. But then if there's a little fist fight or a scuffle or even kids shake hands, not allowed in many schools, the police are called. See, instead of being run around the track till you throw up or being given a few painful pops that don't hurt you physically but sure sting, instead of that happening, oh, no, you're just going to go to a jail cell when you're 13 and there's 17-year-olds in there. They're going to take you in the shower and they're going to rape you and they're going to give you STDs. And that's what goes on every day. Remember the Texas Youth Commission where they were organizing gladiatory fights for the police in them, where there was STDs being spread everywhere, where they were caught selling the young children to government officials and others that would actually come to the facilities? Yeah, your child instead, because you don't want to discipline them, they're just going to get out of control. It's just like with dogs. Dog and human psychology is very similar. You don't have to really spank a puppy hard at all. It's just the newspaper, when they don't go on the newspapers you've laid down or when they don't wait to go outside, you tell them no, and you spat them with that. And it's the psychology of, this is a bad thing. I need to do what you're saying. But I know I watch the, quote, trendy liberals. They're not liberals at all. What they are is people that allow themselves to be programmed and have the natural order run out of them so they can be totally controlled and society can be brought down. You'll always know liberals at a dog park with their dogs. They're out of control. They're yelling at their dog's jumping up and down, going crazy, biting other dogs. You can't go to a movie with your children and not watch the liberals come in and just gripe at their kids and get in their face and needle them and psychologically mess with them and peck at them. And I mean, I had to leave a movie a month ago with my children because in the 10 minutes before, these people were, these socialists were in front of me. And I heard enough to then hear that they actually were basically socialists. And they had like this 3-year-old daughter. They were totally screwing up, just needling her and telling her this and that. And guaranteed they don't discipline her. These are mentally ill people. They've taken control of our society. They've totally wrecked it, and they love it. Now, I'm going to get into the news and your calls. It's just that to hear the news say it's illegal for parents to spank their children, to then hear the show go live and hear the host say it, and then the third caller, right as I pulled in, I was sitting in the car waiting, going, does somebody know this? He called in and he read out the penal code. In fact, I forget it. It's 9 point something. Texas penal code on parent spanking, and then it'll come up for you. And it says right there, the parent, the guardian, whoever. Under law, under common law, if you give your child to your cousin, to your parents, to a school, to a church, I mean, that was the old thing of if kids got doing something wrong, the whoever caught them would spank them, the police would spank them, and when you got home, the parents would spank them. Well, then there's the whole thing of don't lay a hand on my child. So the police are just going to stand back when your kid's throwing a fit and taser them. They can die of a heart attack from that. And law and order has gone out the window. And so now parents have to sign this form saying you can use corporal punishment. And I heard teachers on the air saying, look, it's the a lot of times the uneducated, inner city, whites, blacks, Hispanics, whatever the case may be, it's always the trouble kids that the parents say, don't lay a hand on my child. That's just the way it is, because they're not disciplining their children either. They bought into the system. Yeah, that's a boil down of overall state laws. Abuse does not include reasonable discipline by a parent, guardian, managing, or possessory conservator if child not exposed to substantial risk of harm. Family Code Section 261.001. Yeah, that's not the one. It's in code 9.1, I believe. That's just a boil down of the states. It actually gives it right there. So here's the deal. It's another hoax. You don't have to take vaccines. It's not the law. You can spank your children.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
All right, now that I got on the subject of corporal punishment, I'm going to finish up in this short segment. And then I'm going to come back in the next segment, get into the news, and then open the phones up. We do have announcements concerning PrisonPlanet.tv that I'm going to make in the last 5 minutes of this hour. We do have the news. Ron Paul, Rick Perry is a globalist in Patriot clothing. It's up at Infowars.com. He says Rick Perry is a flip-flopper and agrees that it's of great concern that he was Al Gore's chief of staff in Texas, praised Hillary Clinton care in 1993, and more. But mainline Republicans love to get chumped, and they don't know who they like better, Rick Perry or Mitt Romney. They're like, whoa, you wrote Obamacare? We like that. Wow, you're for open borders and carbon taxes too? Both of you? Man, this sounds great. And Rush Limbaugh says, you guys are the only choice. Well, we'll have to vote for one of you. Forget Ron Paul. We love America completely collapsing. This is great. Someone will be going over those reports coming up. Finishing up, though, on the issue of corporal punishment. There's a continuum. Are there drunken, degenerate, thug-type people who have children in their trash and beat their children and should get in trouble? Well, yes. And what happens is your family or neighbors call and the police come and your child's got a broken arm and they arrest daddy. And daddy goes to jail for a couple years for it. And then you're left with mama and grandma and the rest of them. But in around 1910 or so, depending on the state, they set up, you've got to know the roots of things. We don't just report a news story, we give you history of it. They set up a British model in the U.S. called eugenics racial hygiene. It targeted blacks, whites, everybody. Particularly whites, because they were concerned about bad genetics in the precious, you know, Aryan gene pool. And Hitler wrote in his publications that his Bible was a different American eugenicist and people like Margaret Sanger, who's praised as liberal. And she said, we've got to pose as liberals to get blacks to trust us. We're going to get kill these weeds. And I brought that up to mainline liberals, and they go, so what? See, that's why they all tell you they want to fight racism and they want to be your friend. What they want to do is get you in an inner city, pay the mama not to have the man in the home so they can put the males in prison and go from 20% of blacks 50 years ago, about 21%, having a criminal record, to 94% now and 91% illegitimacy. How'd that great society do for you? But don't worry, they're moving that on to every other group of people. They've got whites from less than 5% illegitimacy to over 50 now. You're like, don't you bash single parents. I'm not bashing single parents. There's a lot of great hard work in single parents and things happen. The issue here is that you're four times more likely to be a drug abuser and to end up being homeless and have big problems. If you're from a single parent home, you're three times more likely to end up doing hard time. I'm talking felony time in the big house. Look it up. Some numbers are even higher. The point is, it isn't good. Two parents have trouble, even if they know what they're doing, controlling strong-willed children. And if you care about them, you'll make them work. You'll make them cook dinner. You'll make them clean the house. You'll make them plant a garden, and they'll start to enjoy it. And by the way, I haven't done a perfect job with my children. I learned what all the old-timers said from experience. You let them be lazy, you start getting problems. As soon as you start getting on them, then they're a lot happier. Just like a dog. You don't train a puppy, it's going to be absolutely miserable and have a horrible life. You train it, it's going to be happier, smarter, people are going to like it. I challenge you. A study should be done at dog parks. Go ask people, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? Have them mark down a note and observe them for a month when they come to the dog park. And I'm telling you, when liberals on average have animals, it is because they're so nice, they let the dog bite your dog. They let their dog act weird. They let their dog urinate on their carpet. They let the dog run off and get run over by a car. They don't understand any basic laws of anything because they were taught to be rudderless by the social engineers. So they set up the eugenic systems, and then they sent out the social workers, and if you were poor, they just took your kids. If you made lower than a B+, they took your kids. That's in my film Endgame. Government newsreels admitting it and saying it's good. They would sterilize you. And so that's all it is now. Their new way to get your kids is to say your neighbor saw you spank them, and the parents are dumb and waive their rights and sign a form. You didn't commit a crime. These aren't criminal courts. I'll explain it. You know what's hard about being awake and informed? You listen to yourself and you say, that's going to be taken the wrong way. Because people are so incredibly ignorant. I'm ignorant too, but I'm trying to be informed. You know, there's a big difference there. When I get up here and I say liberals are a bunch of gibbering moron idiots, I'm not talking about some organic farmer who sees themselves as a liberal. See, it's all these labels. Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. But a Thomas Jefferson is diametrically opposed to what a liberal is today. I'm talking about these people that are scared of snakes, scared of guns, scared of the countryside, scared of cows, scared of everything. They're scared of everything but things that they shouldn't be scared of. What I'm saying is they're scared of things that they really shouldn't be that scared of, and then things that they should be scared of, they have no basic instincts of understanding, no government, big powerful groups getting together. That's what can really destroy societies and kill a lot of people and enslave a lot of people and humiliate a lot of people and turn great societies into very sour societies. So I'm listening to the newscast, and then I'm like, that's incredible that they just said it's against the law to spank your children. And because I knew the Texas Penal Code, and it's the same, it's all off English common law, is that when you give your child to someone, and see, it's so alien that today, that just 50 years ago, people wouldn't bat an eyelash if the football coach gave 10 pops to their son, and if the son bowed up and hit the football coach, and the football coach broke his jaw. And quite frankly, back in the old days, if the teenager ended up beating up the coach, everybody kind of bowed down to him. I'm not going to tell any stories. The point is that we have gone from a manhood-based society to a scientific, ninnying society that is not altruistic and just failing and wrong. It's designed to make us a bunch of weak jellyfish. And so under common law, when you give your child, and that's in the penal codes, go read it, in every state, when you give your child to anyone to be their guardian, they now can use reasonable force to protect that child and to order that child. And that reasonable force goes up. Child's throwing a fit, throwing things around. You can restrain them, spank them, whatever's needed. The child starts attacking people with a weapon. Now you can defend yourself. Everything that the police operate under, their rules, all come out of common law and citizens' arrest. So when you, the parent, hand your child over to someone, you under common law are giving guardianship over that child. And that's why 200 years ago they would spank you in school. They'd actually take you outside with a big old switch and bloody you if need be. Right through to when I was in high school 20 years ago. The last few years, I didn't get any pops once I moved to Austin, but I was pretty rambunctious in Dallas. And they didn't need to call my parents. They didn't need to get permission. They didn't need, because it was common law. Now, if you don't like your child being spanked, don't put them in a place that does it. You see, you go under the common law, the common sense law, European, ancient British law, which itself came out of Europe, when you put your child in a school, when you give your child to the YMCA, when you send your child on an away camp for basketball. But see, what they've done is they've taken all authority away now, not only from the parents. And again, they haven't done this legally yet. They've done it in the minds of the people, and next they'll do it in the law. But teachers are getting attacked, stabbed, you name it, and cannot even restrain a student who's attacking another one. They will be kicked out of school. They will lose their teaching certificate. The principal can't in many of these, quote, progressive schools. Progressing the globalist dehumanization. They know what they're doing. So society breaks down and only specialized enforcers are allowed to come in. So instead of being run around the track, instead of being swatted, that's what they call them, getting swats or pops, now the cops show up, you throw a fit to them, they taser you. And why? The system said, well, you might swing that baton wrong, and statistically we get less lawsuits if you just send high voltage through them. So the cop goes, all right, whatever. You're still flopping around starting fights. You're tasered. Then it sets the precedent to taser people if you talk back to the police. See, now they're in the wrong. So they create a power vacuum. They take it away from parents, coaches, teachers, pastors, Boy Scout leaders, Girl Scout leaders, And now the young people don't respect you in any mammal, animal kingdom. I've seen it even on the nature shows. The seals going over to the whale breathing hole on the ice. Killer whales are hunting and eating them. The mom barks at him, comes over, nudges him away. Goes over a second time. She comes over and really barks at him and nibbles on him a little. Just kind of starts to bite him. And it's the same instinct. She does it further down his hindquarter, away from the eyes. Don't want to hurt the baby seal. She's trying to keep him from being killed. Seal goes over again to where the killer whale's at. Mama has seen hundreds of fellow seals eaten. She knows the baby's instincts haven't kicked in yet. She walks over with her teeth, bites him. He howls in anger like a spoiled eight-year-old. Hops away with blood dripping out of his tail. I have seen when I'm in a deer blind and fawns, baby deer that are almost grown up, almost leaving their mother, run out. But she smells something. She comes out, gets in front of them, tries to push them back in. They don't listen. You know what she does? I've seen both. She reaches over and bites them on the back. They kick and get angry, but then run off in the woods. Or, I've seen them turn around and kick them. Look, I smell a predator. You're about to get killed. Oh, but see, the liberals would say, walk right on out there. Now, I'm not planning to shoot that little deer. The point is I'm waiting for the big buck to come out. But she smells the smell of the creature that she knows kills deer. And so she's going to do whatever she can. When the fawn was little, she'd tell it, lay down while I go out here and eat. I'll come back and give you some milk. And the little fawns, their little spots, lay down. But they start getting bigger, and it's almost time for them to be on their own. But still, it hadn't learned the lesson she's taught them, so she bites them. Now, does CPS need to land in helicopters and fire curare knockout darts into the doe, the female deer, and take those little fawn to a safe, secure location? Why don't we send CPS to the Arctic where seals? I've seen this everywhere in the animal kingdom. This is what goes on. It's always the same. The parent who created the creature has an instinct to want to protect them, that gives them sustenance, tries to nudge them the first time, then bark at them the next time. And next time, okay, you are about to get killed. I'm going to have to apply some pain now because you aren't listening to me. So you let children run wild, and then they go out into the world and are absolute animals, and they end up in the penitentiary locked up in a little cell. What's the greater abuse? It's not abuse. The system doesn't want you to be a parent. And now the state of Texas passed a law. These legislators are so stupid. A lot of them aren't even evil. They're dumb. Because it's common law and penal code for hundreds of years in this country, that when someone turns their child over to the school, they are now the guardian. And I know I'm belaboring this, spending a lot of time, but it's a big issue. And so the state tries to pass a law saying that schools can spank children because it's out of control. And because parents are saying, I can't spank, so why are you? You can spank, you idiots. So they pass a law saying now the parents have to give the approval. The parents give the approval when you put them in that school. If you don't like what's going on in the school, you shouldn't put them there. Do you understand that's common law? When you turn custody of a minor who does not have the rights of an adult and is not a sovereign. That's why they don't get as big a prison sentences, because the courts and common sense and common law says they don't know any better. Who is liable? Their guardian. whether it's a police officer or a school teacher or the parent. And you are the final guardian of your children. You are the executor. You are the trust holder. And so they told you, don't tell your kids what to do. Let them be themselves. Dr. Spock and all that stuff. Best-selling author, sold more than the Bible for 10 years. Back in the 60s. They said, let your children be themselves. Oh, really? Who are you? You are the instincts and culture of survival passed on for tens of thousands of years by your ancestors and everything they passed down to you. And they're saying, don't pass anything on. Let the television pass it on. Let the school pass it on. Let the system pass it on. Don't tell your children what to think or what to do or any lessons you've learned. Let them be themselves. Turn them loose. Don't discipline them. Treat them like they're an adult. Let children sue their parents. And that's so the state and the social engineers can come in and take control of your children. It's that simple. It's very elementary. And some children don't need to be disciplined. Others do. The point is, now they think they passed a law letting schools spank children. And instead, it just restricted common law. Just like they were saying, we're going to pass a law that TSA can't grab your genitals. It's already on the books. That's why a cop can't do it without a warrant. That's why an FBI agent can't do it. It's why they never have done it. They just set up a new body, tell them they can do it, get you in a herded group psychology system like an airport, and more. That's a social engineering laboratory, and the system admits it. So the state then finally takes our good bill, saying we're going to enforce the law, but it was never needed to begin with, just enforce the law. These lawmakers think that everything they need isn't already there, so they always just pass something new. And because they're not sophisticated, Rick Perry comes in and has it changed to say, okay, all police now can stick their hands down your pants without a warrant. And then we said, we now have to remove support for this bill. See, it's all hoaxes and bait and switches and shell games and scams. Now, it gets worse. In thousands of school districts, last time I checked, it was the majority. And there's 20-something thousand school districts plus in the country. But in a large portion of them, first it's no dodgeball. Then it's no tag. Then it's no wrestling. Then at many schools, you can pull this up, schools ban jogging at recess. Schools ban shaking hands at recess. And now the teacher's not allowed to touch him or talk to him. Oh, Billy just shook hands with Bobby. I'm going to call the police. And the cop shows up and writes you a ticket. So they're taking all authority away from the people and the common law, then the teachers, and now a new phenomenon. They're going to begin taking, this is the UN model, the authority away from the police and transferring it only to special paramilitary units, which are federally controlled. Oh, yes, this is next. It's what they're attempting. And so the cops can't do anything either under their common law, citizens' arrest, citizens' power of self-defense, and to stop crime. That's what police operate under. We just create cities, incorporate them, and then vote and hire representatives to handle it for us because we're busy. But pretty soon they try to become the boss. So that's how they're taking the power from the states, the counties, everybody. That's how this movement of power towards a centralized system, and take the big psychiatric boards all coming out and saying, we're against any form of discipline, any form of corporal punishment. Even now they're saying, take kids if you yell at them. Well, notice they're the groups that want to get your kid once they're out of control and put them on mind-altering drugs, Ritalin, Prozac, things that cause all sorts of health problems and heart attacks. I mean, suicides. It's a cult of power and control taking over. And remember, they're taking children every day because somebody saw them being spanked in their backyard. You know, Billy hits Jenny, bloodies her nose. Dad goes, that's it, Junior, you little... CPS is a-coming, and they take you into a fake court where it's just a judge, not a jury. You don't know it goes back to a eugenics court that used to sterilize people that Hitler got his model from, and they take your child away into the system where they're five times more likely to be abused than at any other place. How are they arresting people for filming police in public? A big court just struck it down again today. Cops aren't going to stop arresting you for that. They've been told, go ahead and do it. We're just going to do it. We don't care. How do they take children when you don't inoculate them? Happens all the time. Because they get ignorant parents that get in there scared of the judge and go, I thought I didn't have to. The judge goes, I'm taking them forever unless you sign this order admitting that you've been derelict. And then they let you have your kids for about a week or maybe a month and then claim you violated that agreement. They get you to contract out your rights. So they've got all this figured out. It's all fraud. It's all bamboozling. So I hear these adults calling into the radio saying, how's the government spank you, but parents can't? Parents, you don't know your rights. You don't know the law. You need to learn it. Okay, we are back live, and I have just digressed off into the issue of corporal punishment. But this is an issue that I don't know anybody else is discussing, and that's the fact that the globalist system is for the hoax, by the hoax, of the hoax. It's all about fraud. Just like they created 100 years ago now, these fake family courts that are outside the Constitution Bill of Rights. They created the World Trade Organization in 1995 that our Congress has signed its authority over to. They created the UN in 1945, 46, officially. Now, it orders Obama to launch a war. He does. Congress says, hey, you're not supposed to do that. And he says, I'll do whatever I want. It's about power grabs. And then it's a hoax that they have the right or the authority to do this. It's like Rick Perry. 4 years ago said, it's the law, all girls in Texas will take this shot, 12 and under. I am the governor. It is the law. And women lined up everywhere, paid almost $500 for the three shots, and said, the governor says it's the law. Kind of like I had the state attorney on, I don't know, 4 years ago. It was all over the national news. You probably remember it. And it showed in Maryland, in Baltimore, the school, in quote, 2,000 parents and students lined up with police dogs barking, riot police, and it was judge orders parents to inoculate children. And I got the state attorney on, and I said, sir, you know, here's your code. There's no law to take these shots. I said, so you know this was basically all just a hoax. And he laughed and said, yeah, you're right. And he said, I don't vaccinate my kids. But he was there overseeing, and he started laughing like it's funny or something. I've seen the police on the news all over the country where they arrest people for filming them in public, and then when it gets struck down in court later, or the person even goes to jail, people say, but this isn't against the law, and they just laugh about it. It's like, hey, we just sent some innocent people to jail. Hey, we just got up here and lied to people and said, and CNN was up there saying, it's the law, judge orders shots in Maryland, starting in Baltimore. 1,500 students and their parents, over 2,000 people, and it was crying parents, I don't like the shots, I think they make my kids sick, but I gotta be here. It was mainly inner city people who the system preys on, and I'd play the clips, and I had guests on, and I was on air, and I got some of the parents on, I'd say, you don't have to take it. I know, Mr. Jones, but they say they're coming to arrest me, and I said, no. The school is going to kick your child out for truancy. They're like, yes, that's what they say. Then they're going to trigger a law for that. But they can't order you out of school for not taking a shot when it's not the law. It's only their policy. And they'd go, so they're lying? Yes, there's a waiver in their desk at the nurse's office. You've got to demand it. But it's not a law. I know. You don't have to do that. But if you want to just prove to yourself, and somebody would call back and say, they gave me the waiver. They got mad, but they lied. Yes, they lie. They lie. They lie. They take babies' blood at birth for almost 40 years worldwide, except a few countries that globalists don't control, and tell you it's for a blood test. When it's not, it goes in a DNA database. That's now admitted. You know, I said I'd make this announcement about PrisonPlanet.tv, but I'll just do it later in the next hour. We will be live tonight at PrisonPlanet.tv, 7 o'clock, and live tomorrow night. We're off Monday, but every weeknight, 7 o'clock. Most nights it'll be 30 minutes. Other nights it'll be an expanded special report, sometimes several hours long. Sometimes taped, sometimes live. But it's all coming up, and I've got some important announcements about some new functions and features at PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we've got three guests in this hour, so we'll have open phones and take a lot of your calls in the third hour today. And I guess get into the news I haven't covered yet. Here's just some of the news out of Al Jazeera. This is actually 50-year-old technology. They discovered in the 20s and 30s that most cancer is viral. The Rockefeller Foundations were the first and bought up many of the hospitals that you think are charity hospitals that they run through fronts. And their allied groups have been caught adding the cancer viruses to vaccines, one of the big reasons you've seen the huge increase in cancer. But here it is. Virus therapy sparks hope for cancer patients. And you always hear about these new advancements, but then they never get deployed to the public. Scientists say they have found a genetically engineered virus that can kill tumor cells without harming the patient. And they've got new vaccines they want to get approved that cure you of drug use, narcotics, nicotine, alcohol, because it goes in and reprograms and attacks and kills neurons in the brain, so then you can't absorb natural endorphins. Don't worry, they got a drug, though, that'll treat you after the virus has gone in and changed your brain. And they call it a vaccine. This isn't even an immunity. These are nanotech, genetically engineered bots that they call viruses. That's what they've done, that go in and change you. And that's why the globalists are so arrogant. And they're discussing just ending free will and just releasing all sorts of stuff where you get a fever, you wake up, you're a different person. They say they've got vaccines. It's in my report, Brain-Eating Vaccines. Just type Alex Jones, Brain-Eating Vaccines in, about how you'll never be nervous or upset anymore. That's right. It'll go in and change your brain forever. Researchers have shown for the first time that a single intravenous infusion of a genetically engineered virus. You think what we've got to worry about is airborne Ebola and stuff, folks. That's so 1950s. They've got stuff that they've got mousepox stuff that's decades old. It'll kill 99% of those that come in contact with it. And that isn't even the genetically engineered super viruses. It will hone in on cancer, killing tumor cells in patients without harming healthy tissue. Yeah. Scientists have been intrigued for decades with the idea of using viruses to alert the immune system to seek and destroy cancerous cells. That interest has taken off in recent years as advances in genetic engineering allow them to customize viruses that target tumors. And then, of course, those viruses will mutate and start targeting other tissues. Just like antibiotics overuse has caused all the resistance and the flesh-eating bacteria. And that's if they just have a mistake with all these thousands of companies rolling this stuff out. The field received a boost in January when biotech agent Amgen, when biotech giant Amgen Inc. agreed to pay up to $1 billion to BioVex, the developer of the experimental cancer-fighting virus Oncovex. But the only oncolytic virus so far approved by a regulatory agency is for the treatment of head and neck cancer in China. Oh, yeah, the Chinese are approving everything. Cows that produce human milk, part human in their udders. It's just on and on and on. You name it, they're doing it. And there's thousands of companies doing this stuff. And when you splice animals together, now it allows diseases that affect humans to affect cows, diseases that affect cows to affect humans. Never before. All these zoological bridges being made. And the system releases cancer viruses. Cancer becomes epidemic. Then they've got vaccines you take. Oh, but then there'll be side effects. Things they didn't know it was going to do. Reduce fertility. Changing brain chemistry. See, they artificially wreck our ecosystem. Then they come in with the solution you need. We're not in Kansas anymore. It's Buck Rogers, 2011.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we are into hour number two. We have some 9/11 first responders joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. In fact, one of them heads up one of the large organizations. They've been barred from being part of the events there on the 10th anniversary, according to Fox, CNN, and Associated Press in a press release by Mayor Bloomberg. We're going to be talking about that. Also, we're going to get into the economy and what's happened on that front. China's also confronted Indian naval vessels. Jobless claims stuck above 400,000. Productivity falls. I have a whole stack of Ron Paul articles by Kurt Nemo and Paul Watson today. Please get these out to everybody. Ron Paul says Rick Perry is a flip-flopper and exposes his globalist ways in the article and the video at Infowars.com. Another key article, Ron Paul, Fed's preparing for breakdown of law and order. And I said, do they want that as a power grab? And he said, absolutely, they want it. Groundbreaking statement from Ron Paul. Also, Ron Paul gets into the CIA coup. That is all up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. Now, starting tonight, 7 o'clock, every weeknight except on holidays, and on holidays we'll have rebroadcast, we're going to have at least a 30-minute focused, power-packed news transmission with added expanded many-night special reports. We've got one of those tomorrow night that Aaron Dykes is doing on bisphenol A and information that most of you probably don't know. It's even worse than we thought, and they are consciously using it as a chemical weapon on the population. So that'll be part of the other reports and interviews we do on the Friday show. But tonight is the official premiere of InfoWars Nightly News. And it's subscriber-based. It's PrisonPlanet.tv. All my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, expanded extras. But now, not just the special reports, but the nightly news. And it's streamed out. We're going to start retransmitting it at least once more after it streams live at 7 o'clock. We've got a super high-quality HD version that's been uploaded in the special reports where by next week, we'll have a lower res that's easier to download. We're going to add a lot of new functions. But here's what I wanted to announce before we go to our guest on the First Amendment issue, Alex Schaefer. The new website to easily go sign up, log in, and watch the live and on-demand InfoWars Nightly News to see the special reports, to see the Alex Jones Show live, the radio slash TV show that we're doing right now, every day live and then archived, and the Alex Jones Rants section. Four areas, you go to InfoWarsNews.com, and that takes you into the PrisonPlanet.tv interface. You can still click on the icon for PrisonPlanet.tv and go to the rest of the site and all the other content if you'd like. But the radio slash TV show, 3+ hours a day, generally, a lot of times more than 3 hours. The nightly news, the InfoWars special reports, and the rants. Now, we're filling the rant section up with a lot of material right now. I'll be doing stuff at night and over the weekend. A lot of the spontaneous stuff you've been seeing on YouTube, it's now going to be posted at the rant section. You're going to have the nightly news, obviously, in the nightly news section, and the expanded special reports. There's already a bunch of those there in the special reports section. This is a bold move in the globalist face. We're already reaching tens of millions a month. We're going to reach hundreds of millions through this. And you, the PrisonPlanet.tv members, are the reason we've been able to do this. So we're giving you even more powerful weapons in the InfoWar. And we've got download areas there, but we're going to add even easier ways to download it and then share it with people. It's designed so you can do that right now, but we're going to make it even easier. More and more is going to be added. I've got to say the crew here, Max Cabrera, Matt, some folks don't want to be public. They want to be private working here. The entire crew back there, Aaron Dykes, Rob Jacobson, Darren McBreen, so many others. Everybody here, and you, the listeners, we couldn't do this without you. So InfoWarsNews.com or go to PrisonPlanet.tv/news. PrisonPlanet.tv/news or InfoWarsNews.com. Please join us on the inaugural kickoff maiden voyage of InfoWars Nightly News this evening. I'll give you a rundown later of some of what's coming up on that transmission. Now, going to Alex Schaefer, joining us via video Skype, if you happen to be a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer. But for radio listeners, again, it'll be archived there for you. I saw it all over the news, national news, in the last few days. He simply went out and is a painter and paints scenery and cityscapes, and he decided to add some flames in the background. I've painted burning buildings before, not a lot of my paintings, but some. And a See Something, Say Something person called the police, and he joins us to tell us about the town where this happened and exactly what unfolded. AlexSchaefer.com is his website. Thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I see one of the thought crime paintings behind you.
Yeah, that's the one, man. That's the one that, I mean, I'd done a couple other ones before that one, but that was the one that got LAPD, got the authorities to pay me a couple of visits right there.
So, and for those that are listening on the radio, it's an image of a Chase Branch Bank, a one-story building on fire with fire and smoke pouring out of the roof. That's nice fire. It looks real. You're a good artist. So tell us about yourself, type of art you're into, and then what happened.
Well, my name's Alex Schaefer, and I graduated art school in 92. I worked as a video game computer graphic artist for about 10 years, and then I've been teaching and painting for the past 10 years. And, you know, one of the things I love to do is, I guess you'd call it impressionist plein air painting, where you set up on location with your easel and you're painting in public. And, you know, for years I've been painting those and selling them, and but slowly I've been studying the world of the economy and Wall Street and things like that, and being in touch with, you know, real news like we're getting on the Alex Jones show. And so I started to kind of combine the two, my sort of political feelings about what's really going on, with you know, what I love to do, which is plein air painting. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, I can't tell you what was the moment that possessed me to do that. But I'm just blown away by the response. It's been incredible.
So you did a spontaneous painting, and I've painted myself buildings before, and then said, you know, I'm going to change this to a nuked city. My parents have that painting. I've done hundreds of paintings, but two or three of them are of either bombed out cities or burning cities. One of them is of a World War II photo I saw of Berlin on fire somewhere around here. And I mean, if somebody saw that at my parents' house hanging, would they call the police? What was the spontaneous idea? I mean, was it that, I mean, I know if I painted that Chase is burning down our economy, or what was the mental image that made you do that?
I took a trip to New York, and a couple of kind of months prior, I'd been doing some sort of kind of a small series of just fantasy riot scenes that were just kind of from my imagination. And then when I went to New York, I went to Wall Street, and I did a little sketching there of Wall Street. And then I turned Wall Street into kind of a fantasy flaming riot scene. And so I think that was kind of the beginning of where I was going with this.
Well, there's a lot of talk about apocalyptic collapse and things. There's all these movies, TV shows, countless films being made with zombies running around killing everybody. Why do you think they singled you out? Tell us about the thought police officer that first noticed this and called the Ministry of Love.
Right. Well, here's the irony. Okay, when I'm painting, it's street art. I'm on the street. I was at a bus stop on Van Nuys, right across from this branch. There's tons of people walking by. I was right in front of a lawyer's office, and he was, you know, giving me glasses of water. And everybody, the whole public, got off the bus, and they got it. You know, they thought, oh, that's great. Oh, you know, Chase is screwing up my mortgage, blah, blah, blah. But I really didn't think anything of it. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. And then I saw the police come up Van Nuys and flip a U-turn and pull over and approach me. And the specific thing that the officer said was that somebody called the police and said that they felt threatened by my painting. Threatened, that was the word.
Well, now in the fascistic, politically correct system, they are scared of images. They are scared of ideas. If you were painting regular houses burning, they wouldn't be too upset. But you are showing the man on fire and showing through peaceful art your concern, and you said people were resonating with you, but this has certainly backfired on them. Now your image is in hundreds of publications and becoming quite iconic, and I would imagine you could probably get $50,000 at auction for that painting. In fact, the capitalist in me, if you want to do some deal or we auction it off here on the air next week or something, I'm ready to do it.
It's on eBay right now, my friend.
Oh, okay, too late. How much is it going for?
If you go to eBay and you search Chase Burning, then you can find the auction. And I started it off at $920, which I said was basically half an ounce of gold. And then I compared that to Vincent Van Gogh's one art sale of 400 francs, which at that time translated to 4 ounces of gold. So that means Van Gogh's first sale was for about $7,300. So I don't think I'm any kind of a Van Gogh, and I aimed way lower. But so far, it's been almost bid up to the value of an ounce of gold. It's at $1,775. There's been 11 bids and 35 watchers or something like that. It's pretty awesome.
Well, it's about to go up to $50,000 right now. Stay there. Stay there. We'll be right back. I know you look a little Van Gogh-ian. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. It's InfoWars. Talk about the FBI when we get back visiting. Alex Schaefer is our guest. L.A. artist faces police questioning for painting banks in flames. Death and Taxes reported on that and had a photo of another bank in flames. So he's done, I guess, more than one of these. Or I guess since it got the attention, he's out doing more of it. So, Alex, tell us about the visits you got from the police, FBI, and others.
Okay, well, the first one was two officers approached me on the street. They pulled up in the cruiser, and they said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm painting." And they said, "Well, someone said they felt threatened by your painting. Can we see your ID?" Now, the great thing was that this lawyer that I was painting in front of, he was just like an instant street advocate. But I did present them with my identification. I didn't have a problem with that. One of the officers that was there just kind of stood next to me and was talking to me. And I was talking to him. And he said, "Well, you know, you could be a terrorist." And I said, "But do you really think, like, this is how a terrorist is going to case out firebombing a bank?"
No, you're using art to purvey a powerful message.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying. I've got government training manuals where they say American flags, get us out of the UN stickers, Ron Paul stickers. That could mean terror. So they're selling us that free speech is basically terrorism.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the officers, I think they thought it was ridiculous a little bit themselves. But they filled out an incident report. You know, they got my address, and I thought it was funny that they wrote down in the personal oddities line that I had glasses and a blonde beard.
Well, that's evil. You may be with Al-Qaeda. But we actually have the training videos. You now have been put in a Homeland Security database. I can send you that article on that. Well, we got it a few years ago. When they come up, they say if you have a cell phone or binoculars or wearing blue jeans, I'm not kidding, go ahead and put people in the terror database.
Well, I was just covered head to toe with dirty paint clothes. I thought that was more of a personal oddity. I think the thing that was really weird to me was when the two officers came to my house 3 weeks later. I really thought, okay, whatever.
So this is just now getting attention. So they put you in a database, and now the intimidation isn't enough that you've been put in Big Brother's database. They show up.
Yeah, they showed up, and I mean, it's intimidating. I don't hate the police or, harbor any animosity towards the authorities, but...
What did they say to you?
It's intimidating to talk to officers.
They wouldn't like you going to their house, so what did they say to you?
Well, again, they knocked on the door, they said LAPD, and I was like, oh boy. And they said, do you know why we're here? And I said, is it because of that painting I did? And they said, yes. And they, again asked me, is this your intention? Do you intend to do this? And, I just said, no, this is just a political statement that I'm making. And, they specifically asked me, do you hate the banks? Twice they used the word, do you hate the banks? And I would throw it back to them by saying, well, you're a police officer. Do you hate criminals? you wish that criminals did not engage in criminal activity. You don't spend your life hating them. And that's how I feel about most of the big banks. But basically right now, all the big banks, they are engaging in criminal activity. Fraud, larceny,
And you're not supposed to even talk about that. And so what happened next?
Then they said, well, can we see the painting? And I'd actually left it at the Hive Gallery where I'm at right now. And but I showed them just another banal street scene painting that I've done just to show them an example of my work. And I'm holding it up and I said, look, it's like this, but if I just started painting a bunch of orange and red right here,
So you had the art police show up.
Yes, the art police.
How did it end? Because I'm going to have you back up after the auction or in the near future because you're an intriguing individual. But how did it end? Yeah. Were there more visits? What else happened?
I haven't had any more visits with the officers. But it's funny. I have a sight meter on my blog. AlexanderSchaefer.blogspot.com, and I started noticing I got 4 hits from JP Morgan Chase headquarters where they were searching deep into my website, half hour, 36 page views. I got in Washington, D.C., the Department of Justice has...
Well, yeah, you're showing our government's master, the master criminals, in a light they don't like. Alex, we appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, open phones in the third hour and just an overload of Mideast news, economy news, U.S. news, politics, Ron Paul dropping bombshell after bombshell yesterday on the show. It's all coming up. In fact, I can't even do justice to the fact that Ron Paul's come out and talked about basically a CIA coup in America, FEMA wanting emergencies and disasters to take control. When asked about FEMA camps... going after Rick Perry when asked about how he was Hillary's big buddy and supported Hillary Care and worked for Al Gore. I mean, it's all coming out. And that stuff is cyanide politically to Rick Perry. Oh, the thought police will come. They'll say I'm saying use cyanide. No, I said political cyanide on his campaign. Okay? Or it'd be like kryptonite to Superman, but he's not Superman, is the point. By the way, this fellow who was just on with us, who painted Chase on fire, and the police keep coming, you know, and visiting him and things.
Alex Schaefer.
You notice that now it's only empowering him, and it's probably going to end up making him a famous artist. That's how it happens. He's a talented guy, but he got his break. And if I would have had time, I would have asked him, buddy, you knew something like this was going to happen, and you pulled their strings good, which is smart. You got to manipulate the globalist. You know, they try to manipulate us. We just let them come right into our trap. We don't use deception. We just do our thing and know what they're going to do and know how to respond to it. We're going to win when we have the initiative. That's why they're so scared of that painting, that image, that idea, because it brings together hatred of true tyranny, not of the puppets. You think they care if folks riot and burn down their own neighborhoods? No. They don't want people thinking about going after the real corrupt government of this country. I don't want any violence against Chase and all these other guys, Goldman Sachs. They're really the bad one. I want to go after them through the law. Now, we're going to our guest here in a moment, but speaking of Ron Paul, we've got two new T-shirts where you get the word out about Ron Paul 2012 and support our InfoWar. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's when fascism goes to sleep, it looks under the bed for Ron Paul. We had listeners request this T-shirt. I'm not sure, even sure who coined it, but I was sent an email saying, hey, why don't you make a T-shirt? So here it is. When fascism goes to sleep, it looks under the bed for Ron Paul with the symbols of fascism. And on the back, it says Ron Paul 2012 and InfoWars.com. And we've got another one that says Save the Republic, Ron Paul 2012. On the back, Legalize Freedom. So a black T-shirt and a white T-shirt, both available at InfoWars.com. And the little bit of change we make helps fund this great organization that you've helped build, so that we can support Ron Paul, the 9/11 first responders, and so many other organizations and groups that we get on and promote here. Now, I saw this last week. One of the producers brought it in, and I double-taked, and I had to go get online just to make sure that I was really reading. I mean, I thought it was one of these things where people make a fake site and then make it look like CNN or Fox or Associated Press. I've seen that before, where people actually make a fake URL, but you can immediately read it until it's fake. And I read this, and I thought, this really reads like a CNN report, but this can't be true. So I searched it. Little did I know, this news had been out for several weeks. It first broke in early August. Bloomberg put his press release out. And it was AP, Fox, CNN, and all reporting it like it's totally reasonable. And see, that's another story. Not just that they barred the first responders from the 10th anniversary, but that it's not a bigger issue. I mean, look at this. And it goes on to say that they are barred from it because Mayor Bloomberg, and also now we turned out the White House is behind this. No God is to be mentioned. 30,000 plus people just in the area, 100,000 around it. No porta potties. It's really bizarre. They don't want people there. They don't want the first responders there because, look at these headlines. Congressional ordered screening of 9/11 responders turns up no terrorist. That's right. They are being screened as terrorists, the first responders. 9/11 responders to be warned they will be screened by FBI's terrorism watch list. Huffington Post. I mean, I'm reading New York Post, Huffington Post. Here's another one here. The Health Care Act compensation won't cover 9/11 survivors with cancer. They know there's thousands of surviving men and women, firefighters, police, medics, doctors, National Guard, heroes. When everybody was running out, the old cliche, they ran in. And for 9 years, they blocked coverage, even though all the major universities out there did the scans of their lungs full of asbestos, the deaths, all the police dogs died in a couple of years, even people that got their feet chopped off by falling debris, you know, in the recovery effort and the demolition effort, they wouldn't get treatment. So we fought. I went, flew to New York, my own expense, rented buildings, gave 100% to first responders, the groups that were pushing to get the compensation. When they finally got the compensation, they said, you got to go through a terror database, and now we're not going to cover most stuff. So that's why they don't want them there. They said they're going to have a fire chief, police chief, and the military, just brass there. They're not allowed in the pit. They're not allowed in the main event. And why is that? Well, I know why. But here to give us their view on it is Joey Garofalo, New York City correctional officer and worked at Ground Zero in the first few weeks for 9/11. He is the founder and director of 911 WTC First Responders Foundation, rememberbuilding7.org, and Ted Walter started doing research for many years and been involved ever since. And he's the director of NYC CAN and Remember Building 7 campaign. They've run those ads that have gotten national attention and that our listeners have supported. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for doing that. Before we get into this year's 10th anniversary and what's happening and how Obama put out talking points saying use it to, you know, take liberties, expand the war on terror, but no responders. What is your view and why do you think they're barring the first responders from the event? Joey, Ted, whoever wants to go first.
Hey, yeah, this is Ted here. Joey, you want to take that?
Hey, Joey, are you there? Joey Garofalo? I think we lost his phone line. While we're getting Joey back on the line, Ted, you're a New Yorker. You've been, you know, covering this. Why do you think this happened?
Well, yeah, the first responders bring a sad story to 9/11, and the country... You know, the powers that be want to forget. They want people to be happy. They don't want people to look at the real effects of 9/11. The fact that we're in two, three, you know, uncountable numbers of wars. The fact that we've got thousands of first responders dying. That's the story that first responders bring to 9/11. And that's why the powers that be don't want them there. So, and yeah, first responders are angry, especially with the cancer issue. Joey has been an outspoken voice against this, and it's just... It's just really unconscionable that cancer is not being covered by Zadroga. It's really unconscionable.
Now, Joey, now that you're there with us, specifically expanding on that, you're saying you concur with my analysis that they know that they were poisoned, the EPA was ordered to lie about the deadly dust, they've been blocked health care, and the government doesn't want them there because they're scared of them. All right, I think we're having some kind of... technical difficulties or something with folks. So we'll just interview Ted. Ted, can you give us your view on these folks?
Yeah, well, I've spent a lot of time with them the last few years. And look, it's not a happy bunch of people. They're suffering. They're dying. We thought last year it was a little bit of a breakthrough. There was going to be some funding for them. But yeah, as we found out, because cancer is not being covered, there's a huge percentage of the first responders. And it's not only the first responders. Last year, a dear friend of NYC CAN, Jeanette McKinley, passed away. She had a brain tumor, and she was right across the street from the World Trade Center when it collapsed, and a huge mountain of dust broke through her windows. She inhaled it, and she's not with us anymore. And so they know what that dust did. They know what's in that dust. They know what that dust does to people. And when you bring first responders into the story, it just brings us closer to the truth about what happened on 9/11.
Now, Ted, while we're getting Joey back on the line, we had some issues with that line. He was up for a second. It sounded like he was agreeing, or perhaps that was you. But when you talk to these first responders, these heroes, why do they think they're barred from the ceremony, and is it hurtful? I know they're in the CNN articles and others saying they're outraged and they don't know why this is happening, but how could Mayor Bloomberg just calmly say, yeah, you're not welcome?
Again, because they bring a story of pain, and they're still angry, you know. The family members, a lot of family members are very angry, are still looking for the truth. But a lot of family members are going to be at the ceremony, and unfortunately are willing to sort of support the official narrative that's been going on, because it's a really painful, unspeakably painful topic for them as well. But the first responders are much less willing, and they've got so much to be angry about because they're still not getting the support that they need 10 years later, and so. Yeah, if they were there, they would be outspoken. They wouldn't be contributing to the dynamic that New York City, Mike Bloomberg, the president, et cetera, are trying to create. They just don't fit into that narrative that we're supposed to be all swallowing on the 10th anniversary.
Did you see 2 days ago when the White House talking points that were supposed to be secret went out to state government, federal government, and foreign governments about the narrative of Al-Qaeda's a threat, we've got to have more wars, got to take your rights, we're going to keep you safe? I mean, they want to use the heroes and the images of the people on the pile, but they don't want people to see them in their wheelchairs and coughing up blood like I have.
Exactly, exactly. It's a very sad story. But you know who's telling the real story? You look across the pond, Europe. There are a number of documentaries coming out this weekend. One is coming out on M6. That's basically the second biggest channel in France. And it's telling the story of the first responders and their suffering. And it's telling the story of the family members and their suffering as well, and the fact that they haven't had a real investigation into the murder of their loved ones. And so, like, media in other parts of the world are awake, and they're waking up, and they're telling the stories that need to be told, the real stories. And that's because people in Europe are waking up. This weekend, we are going to have a breakthrough. We have major documentaries in France, Germany, and Italy coming out about the Remember Building 7 campaign. They're going to be seen by at least 10 million Europeans. And Europeans, they're not prone to deceiving themselves as quickly as much of the people in our country, because they've been through a lot of stuff over the last 100 years or so. So when they see Building 7 collapse, they're going to know that's a controlled demolition. You don't have to, you know, talk to a scientist to figure that out. And Europeans are going to see it. They're going to say, what the hell?
Now, talking to the first responders, I know I've been to many memorials, and I remember 6, 7, 8 years ago out there with 9/11s and inside job shirts outside the memorial, and some of the police, some of the firemen cussing at us. But the last few times I went, I mean, it was the commander saying, appreciate you, Alex, we're with you. Well, hey, you want to be on camera? No, but just know we're with you. And firefighters everywhere I went buying me dinner, and police shaking my hand. So it seems to be a total flip. And I've interviewed some of the heads of some of the biggest 9/11 victims groups, and they've said, and this is 4 or 5 years ago, we've got one of the interviews in Terror Storm with the head of the biggest 9/11 group, and he said the majority, more than 50% of the families, believe it's an inside job. And of course, that was 5 years ago. When you talk to the first responders, I mean, are they barred just because they're mad about the cancer and the dust and not being given health care, or is it also the fact that a lot of them know the truth?
A lot of them know the truth. So many of them know the truth. And they were all told very shortly after 9/11 not to speak about it, or they lose their jobs and they lose their pensions. I've spoken to probably about 24 individual first responders myself who've all told me the same thing. And, you know, we try to get them to come out. We got guys that, you know, were like 2 blocks away from the Trade Center when it was, you know, basically in the process of collapsing. They watched pieces of the building, like, shoot off, like, very, very clear explosion. They want to talk about it, but they're scared because they're going to lose their pension. You know?
Well, it's on tape, the explosions before 7 fell, and you got cops saying, get back, they're bringing 7 down. That's on CNN. And I've interviewed 2 of the police officers, and then, of course, after they came on the air later, they're like, it's gotten too many threats, I'm not coming back on, but they've gone public. And Luke, of course, knows them all up or not from memory. I can't mention, I don't remember their names, but I've had a lot of them on. And they're people that were there and heard the countdown for Building 7. And then the debunkers spin it and say, you're saying the police and firemen were involved. No, they were there and were told by FEMA, get back, it's coming down. That's on CNN. Then they were threatened, don't tell anybody what you saw. And now they're not allowed at the memorial service. Why do you think the system's so so bold?
It's just why the system is so bold. I mean, it's just the media that we're up against is just, it's a huge megaphone, and we're fighting against it. We have, you know, we've got so many people, so much testimony, and yet, you know, it's a challenge to break through, which is why what we're doing now with the Remember Building 7 campaign and the 10th anniversary is we're getting the thousands, tens of thousands of people that are out there that know the truth to come together on the 10th anniversary. Because you know what? If we can raise $1 million, which is what we're trying to do, you can be sure basically what $1 million will allow us to do is show Building 7 to half of the people in New York metropolitan area. That's about 10 million people who will see Building 7 collapse. And when 1 in 2 people see Building 7 collapse, that will break through. There will be serious discussion about Building 7. People don't have preconceived notions about Building 7 because they don't know about it. When they see it on TV, they're going to wake up, and the media won't be able to stop this discussion from happening.
Well, Well, for whatever reason, we lost Joey, but we're definitely going to get him back up on another day, and I want to get Mr. Feel on and a lot of other organizations. Again, I don't want to just glaze over this. The magnitude, the desperateness that it shows, the system loved to get the cops in their dress blues and the fire people and all the folks out there and point at them and use them. But the fact is, most of them have woken up and know the truth now, so they're barred. They're barred from an event. I was reading numbers of 30,000 are going to be let in, but none of the first responders. And Bloomberg had a quote about, they are not the focus. They are the heroes of 9/11. I mean, any way you look at it, inside job or not, these are the heroes, and the government says they're barred. I mean, this is Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know what? We're going to break through it on this anniversary. Our numbers are just too much now across the world. We need, what we're looking for at rememberbuilding7.org is for 20,000 people to come together, give an average donation of just $50 each for the anniversary. And with that, we're going to have $1 million. We're going to put ads. Every other New Yorker is going to see footage of Building 7 collapse.
By the way, you've already aired a lot of ads.
We've been doing this for the past year. A year ago, NYC Can and Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth decided to come together to raise money to put ads on TV. We've been doing it for the last year. We were on Geraldo. We were on Judge Knapp's show.
You got a lot of attention. And just to add, I'm really proud that you kicked it off on this show and that our listeners donated the original seed money just to prime the pump and start it. Very exciting. We'll be right back with more on 10 years. What killed America? We'll be right back. I tell you, we have now got Joey Garofalo on with us, and we appreciate him joining us. Sorry we got our numbers scrambled, but he is here, and he was a New York City correctional officer who worked at Ground Zero in the first few weeks after 9/11. He is the founder and director of 911 WTC First Responders Foundation. Joey, I went through a chronicle earlier of mainstream news admitting that the first responders are barred from this year's event. You're not invited. And I know it's very hurtful to the true heroes of 9/11. Why do you think they're doing this, sir?
Well, Alex, to tell you the truth, at first I thought it was because of protection. And I wanted to really believe that, knowing that, first responders were already hurt and injured, and God forbid anything would happen, they wanted to keep us away from it. And I still believe that, because that could be part of, their reasoning. But my real belief is it's political. It's an Obama campaign that our mayor had teamed up with, because, he's been just, one after the other, siding with Obama and going against first responders from day one, indicative to whatever plans he had put into effect by protocol that he had to take care of any first responders, such as the medical monitoring program at Mount Sinai, or going to funerals. I mean, it's just one mistake after the next, and it's a disrespect. A totally disrespect, and it's a disrespect and an embarrassment to this country, the spirit of America. I mean, this is not what our forefathers had planned for the future.
Well, if the survivors aren't there, period, and are barred, and they're saying they'll have one little ceremony with the police chief or something, this is outrageous. This is asinine. This is so absurdist. It's like satire. I mean, when I first saw it in CNN a week ago, I didn't know it had been out for weeks before that. No one had even made an issue out of it. And I didn't believe it when I first saw it and then went and found it. From the firefighters and police I've talked to, from what I've seen on the ground, most of them question, obviously, WTC7, the official story. Instead of flipping me off like they do 8 years ago, they come over and pat me on the back. I mean, the majority of them. Do you think that also they don't want people there that could do some embarrassing things, could say some embarrassing things? We just had a controlled demolition in another city, and a guy jumped up on stage on TV and said, 9/11's right in front of you. Look at the controlled demolition. What's your view on that, sir?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there are several reasons here which have a lot of probable cause for their reasoning. And by all means, I mean, hey, you know, people are going to show up and they're going to exercise their right, without a doubt. And to tell you the truth, I probably would have been one of them to, you know, to say something. Like, the biggest thing is, and why I joined the Remember Building 7 campaign is primarily because when that building went down, and in all of my documents, there was no mention of WTC 7 and my settlement with the city, any medical documents. Meanwhile, it added and increased toxins into the air unnecessarily.
Well, Joey, do you think this is going to backfire, though? Because I'm told a bunch of first responders are going to be outside the gates with the media pointing out that you're barred.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are calls being made. I've been told that they want to do a human chain around the perimeter.
Stay there, stay there.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we are back live. Tons of news and your phone calls coming up in the next segment. Incredible developments from the Ron Paul camp. We are joined by Joey Garofalo, who was a New York City correctional officer and worked at Ground Zero in the first few weeks after 9/11. He is a founder and director of 911 WTC First Responders Foundation. Bottom line, sir, it's CNN, Fox News are reporting that the first responders, the heroes, the survivors are barred from the 10th anniversary. What is your view on that? Why do you think they're doing it? And I've called for, and I know others are calling for, have you heard anything about a demonstration by the heroes that they're barred while the political pimps sit there and try to push their agenda off of your fallen comrades?
Yeah, well, Alex, thanks for having me on, first off. It was very shocking when I heard it myself. And as far as my belief, there could be several, several of their reasons. One, which is the least, protecting any first responder who's already sick from being out and, back in Manhattan with such a large crowd. So we're going to put that on the bottom, because any first responder who is ill and not able to go would not go, primarily because of that. So I won't even believe that. And the other reason, which I really believe, is you call it pimping. It's Obama campaign. It's the mayor, campaigning for Obama. You're bringing in politicians that have no business being there. Okay, why are they there? Now, God bless the families. Okay, of all the dearly departed, those are the true heroes. Okay, and the innocent victims who stood and waited for, the first responders or rescuers to come in. Those are the true heroes, okay? But this is our history. And basically, to tell you the truth, they're talking about sending out, squads of first responders. And when I'm saying they, the various different groups, there's been talk. I received calls. I received emails. Joey, bring your group. Get as many people as you can. Let's come down. Let's do a human chain around the perimeter. The police are not going to arrest us. And I laughed at it. First off, number one, I'm not going to believe that. Okay, with this mayor and especially with the president in town, come on, all bets are off. They don't care who you are. They've already disrespected us in many ways, okay, with their political, agenda. It's the political bully that is controlling, okay, the disrespect. And when I say political bully, Alex, I gave it a definition of protocol and procedure. And that's all they know. And that's all they're, you know, what they're all about. They don't care about the lives that were affected. Procrastination has caused many, many first responders to become very much ill and also to die. And yes, I'm saying it, and also to die. Okay? I'm not done. Okay? I'm just beginning. I've been sitting back waiting. You know, John Field has been great, you know, in the lead. He's starting to get frustrated. We've both been at town hall listening to all the bull that's been handed to us about first responders who have cancer and are not going to be covered in the Zagrota bill.
Well, Mr. Groffalo, bottom line, you guys were hit by the asbestos. They know you're angry. They don't want you there. It's outrageous. And do you believe they also don't want you raising questions about how Building 7 fell?
Absolutely, Ted. They don't want a guy like me. Why? I'm proven fact, living, that I have what they call fiberglass poisoning. There's fiberglass trapped in my body trying to come out, and that's what the skin rashes are, which Mount Sinai are all mesmerized. They have no clue what it is.
Sir, I want to have you finish if you can. If you got to go, we understand, but we'll be right back.
This Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're finishing up with Joey Garofalo, survivor of 9/11, of somebody who went in and, you know, after the things had collapsed in that dangerous environment where so many people got hurt and killed, and he survived the deadly dust. Now, they've had Mount Sinai and other prestigious medical and university facilities going back 8 years scan their lungs and say, it's unbelievable you guys are still alive. So many of them have died. The government's tried to block their health care, finally said, okay, we'll give you health care, but you've got to be run through a terror database. What do you think of that, Joey, that you guys aren't just now barred because they're done using you to make themselves look like heroes from the 10th anniversary, all the first responders, police, fire, medical, you name it. But now, on top of it, you've got to go through a terror database if you try to get health care. Now they're saying, we're not going to cover cancer, the main thing you need taken care of.
Yeah, Alex, they are so confused. First off, number one, going through a terror database, I mean, that was known from day one in the Zagrota bill, which I had been screaming about from when the bill first came out. I am not totally against it because, listen, I'm an American, and I believe in protecting this country. And, I mean, I'm not going to go into any more semantics other than that. But could it be done a little bit better? Yes. That's one. The second part of your question was, I'm sorry.
Go through a terror database to get health care? I mean, I know they're trying to make the unions go through them now. I mean, do we have to get federal permission to go to the bathroom?
Well, like I said, the procedure and how they're going about doing it is wrong. But to be part on, to be part of a database is, really, for me, it's not a problem. I have nothing to worry about.
No, obviously you've got to be on a database to get the special health care program. I get
exactly that.
But there's no need to approve you through a terror database. I mean, you don't get approved through a terror database when you get your Social Security check. It's a very dangerous present they're setting up. So why?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, are there?
There should be no procedure as far as that goes. I'm already cleared. I'm already a first responder. I'm already sick. I already got the coverage. Now, 9 years later, you want to change it.
Oh, now I see the point you're making, so it's even worse. Now, specifically here in closing, anything else you'd like to add, A, and then B, more on the word you've gotten that there will be some demonstrations or first responders doing a chain around Ground Zero?
I'm told, whether it comes to fruition or not, you know, is another story. I'm not going to be there. You know, as part of it, I will be close by. But, you know, and all in all, you know what? If they do make arrests, you know what? Shame on them. They're taking away, you know, entitlements. They're taking away rights. Listen, they robbed us already, you know, from the whole history of 911, which is another story, Alex. And I just wrote a piece on it. There are a lot of educators in a lot of schools and across the country that want to start doing education and teaching our children. How do you do that when the history's not even over? I mean, and we're just starting. We're just beginning. I mean, I'm just like inundated with emails and people crying and please help. And, you know, they didn't know anything about, like I mentioned, the fiberglass poisoning, which I have. And now, you know, it's coming to light to a lot of first responders who are complaining. They're also complaining that they're being mistreated by the treatment centers just recently, where everybody's starting to go back for the annual testing. And basically, the exams, you know, cover a lot. And now they're starting to ask everyone to produce the medical records that we've produced when we first joined, whether it be with my case in 2006 or others in 2002 or 4. They want everyone to reproduce. So this is what I'm saying. They're starting all over again, and they're doing it, you know, after the fact. For what purpose?
Well, it's all part of harassing you. It's all part of...
It's all part of medical discrimination, Alex, and I'm going to scream this until people start listening. This is medical discrimination because of the political bully, because of the pimps that are out there that don't want to fess up or own up to their responsibility and paying for what we deserved, you know, to be taken care of.
Well, that's it. They just want you to go away, and that's not going to happen. And I challenge you to go down there and to speak out, and the police try to tell you, hey, you got to have a permit. Hey, you don't have to have a permit. And tell them, hey, you're next, buddy. If they'll flush us down the toilet, they're going to do it to you. And let's see if the police and others go along with this. And we'll certainly check in with you in the aftermath, Joey. Thank you so much. We'll be tracking what happens at Ground Zero in 8 days.
Can I say 2 seconds of a last sentence?
Sure.
My biggest fear is the future of our children and our unborn children, Alex. And actually, our first responders who are active today, should this, you know, take place again, how are they going to respond? What will they do knowing how we've all been mistreated and discriminated against? That's my biggest fear.
Well, if you fight back against it, you'll just be the new terrorist. They've already branded away from Al-Qaeda onto the returning veterans, gun owners, libertarians, conservatives. So it's all part of their plan. Thank you so much, Joey. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give the number out if you want to join us on air. I've got a bunch of news. I haven't even gotten to the news. Some days I tend to, you know, get off into a bunch of other issues, but there's a lot of it, and we will cover it. But I also want to take some of your phone calls. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Now, here is a clip from an interview that is going to be aired in full tonight. He couldn't come on during the show, so we did it before the show. On the InfoWars Nightly News this evening, 7 o'clock Central at PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWarsNews.com. with the CEO of Gibson Guitar. And he dropped a huge bombshell on us. He said that, and this has been produced in court papers, he said that, to give you some background, that he has had the feds tell him and give him the documents that they're not in trouble for buying wood that's endangered. They admit that's not the case, but that it's violating international law that they worked the wood here. And because it's an Indian law, they're now under that internationally, even though the Indians say that they haven't violated it. So we've got that issue. But the big bombshell is that in court, and they have the report, is that when they complained about it, the feds told them in a brief, in paper in court, they said, just leave the United States then. Go to Madagascar if you don't like this. So they do want to get rid of American jobs, one of the few companies still making high-quality products in this country. So here's a clip of what's coming up tonight on the television show. Okay, I tell you, today has been the gremlin-infested broadcast. Absolutely gremlin-infested. But that's okay, because we're all rushing and getting a lot of other new things ready. And again, I haven't even done the TV show yet. I mean, the TV show's tonight. That's an interview I did because he couldn't come on tonight, so we could have it there in the program. There's been some big new developments on that front today. But again, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. And I'd like to get your take on this information. Ron Paul, feds preparing for breakdown of law and order. Presidential candidate warns of government power grab in time of crisis. Asked about his recent comments regarding how authorities in the United States were setting the stage for violence in this country, presidential candidate Ron Paul elaborated on how the federal government was preparing for a breakdown of law and order. Quote, they're planning for any provision, Paul told Alex Jones Show, adding that the federal government is very much aware of history and collapsing societies. You can have a breakdown of law and order so that people will unfortunately be begging for stabilization, and they'll be inviting the federal government to come in and destabilize things. So I think they're making plans now along those lines. Hear that? To have the federal government come in and destabilize things, said the congressman. Responding to a question about whether such preparations were about a power grab on behalf of the federal government, Paul responded, that's their goal. It's all about power. I said, so specifically, sir, we heard it yesterday. I said, they want the crisis, so they get power. And he said, that's their goal. It's all about power. But I think he went, yep. He said, yes, that's their goal. It's all about power. So we might get the full quote in there. Continuing, when pressed who they are, Paul named the Federal Emergency Management Agency, who have come in for harsh criticism from the congressman in the aftermath of Hurricane Irene. Riots that emerged largely as a consequence of economic hardships have gripped Europe and the Middle East over the past 18 months, although little significant unrest so far has been seen in the United States. However, many expect the situation to only become more volatile as America teeters on the brink of a double-dip recession. I love how Paul's using the term double-dip recession. Teetering on the edge? We've been in one. We're in a depression, according to all the economists we talk to. But we're trying to be moderate, you know. But, I think in defense of truth, extremism is no vice. I mean, you can't – I think I'm going to – because I am the editor, but I don't edit a lot of this stuff. I don't – on the brink of hardcore depression. But it's a pretty important article. We've got others. Ron Paul, Rick Perry is a globalist in patriotic clothing. We've got that article up. Ron Paul, Rick Perry is a flip-flopper. And we've got Ron Paul on CIA.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, here's a clip from our upcoming interview with Henry Jeskowitz, the CEO of Gibson, when he dropped the bombshell. The U.S. government said, leave America. Get out of here. We don't want you. Here it is. Now, the concerns I've seen in some of the newspapers point out that under the Lacey Act, And the federal government's on record. You know, now, when you try to fly out of the country with a wooden guitar, they don't care how old it is. If you don't have the proof of where it came from, that they're confiscating them. Can you speak to that?
It's quite ridiculous. The fact is the law is that you have to know what every material component in the product is and where it came from. So, in other words, every single piece of wood, the bridge, the fingerboard, the body. You know, these are all different woods that have come from different sources. You, as a guitar owner, if you want to transport that guitar across borders, have to know exactly where each piece of wood came from and what species it is, which is frankly impossible for an average person to know. And on an old guitar, we don't even know that. I mean, that we don't keep records going back, you know, decades on the specifics.
Well, I was reading, because it's not just Gibson, it's all the wooden instruments, violins, cellos, you name it, that people like Willie Nelson, who I know personally, he won't take his prize wooden guitars out of the country. He won't take Trigger that he got over 60 years ago out of the country because reportedly they're grabbing most of the guitars people try to take into Canada or fly to Europe for a show. And now the feds are saying pianos, furniture, firearms stocks. I mean, this sounds like it's a giant power grab. And it looks like the U.S. is the only country in the world acting like this with a renewable resource like wood.
It is really unprecedented, and it's unfair. I just can't believe it's happening in this country.
In closing, how can we support a American icon company like Gibson? I mean, how do we keep you here in the U.S.? Because doing my own investigation, if you're based overseas, you seem to get left alone. And our government just bends over backwards. Even Congressman Kucinich said 2 days ago on CNN that the head of the President's Economic Council, the former head of GE, is great at creating jobs overseas, that a lot of the stimulus money and bailout money is going to move General Electric's X-ray division to China, to move General Motors' factories to China. What's going on here?
Well, you know, in the government itself, in a brief, specifically said in our court case that we should move to Madagascar and make guitars.
Excuse me? Hold the presses, sir. CEO of Gibson since 1986, you're telling me, and I know you've got these press release on Gibson, but I would love to see a copy of this. I believe you, that they specifically said leave America.
That we would be better off manufacturing guitars in Madagascar.
Wow. And they told you that via a court brief?
Yes.
I haven't seen this in the press yet. This is bombshell. You've got to get a press release out, or perhaps you already have.
We're working on it. And, we'll have the actual document.
Wow. Gibson Guitar told basically leave America. Well, incrediblegibson.com is the website. I know personally my wife plays guitar and piano. Okay, folks, that's an interview we shot that's going to be airing tonight on the show because he couldn't do it during the show live. Tonight, 7 o'clock. Do you believe in alternative media? Do you believe in the First Amendment? Do you believe in the Republic? Do you believe that we need to stand up against the globalists and the crime syndicate? Do you believe we have any hope? If you do believe in what we're doing, become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. We've added a lot of new features, a lot of new functions. It's all available at PrisonPlanet.tv. You can watch tonight's show there at 7 o'clock on the front page. Or you can simply go to InfoWarsNews.com. That's InfoWarsNews.com, just InfoWars with the news after it. InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv/news. That will take you to the nightly news. We have the new special reports page. We have the Alex Jones Live. That's this radio/TV show I've been doing for, 16 plus years, 14 in this slot. All available at PrisonPlanet.tv or another URL with the new look of a whole new site we're building, by the way. So we're kind of hybridizing it right now. InfoWarsNews.com. If you're not a member, ladies and gentlemen, watch the show live or on demand. PrisonPlanet.tv/news, 7 o'clock tonight.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
If you go to drudgereport.com today, you will notice that he continues to point out that every few days the rebels claim they've got Gaddafi cornered and he'll be dead within days. And there's the headline, "No surrender," says Gaddafi. "Let Libya be engulfed in flames. It is a civil war, a humanitarian disaster," as Colonel Schaefer and others predicted, as we predicted as well. Gaddafi said to be in desert town. Reportedly, his family got out last week. He could have left. He's deciding to stand and fight. Say what you want about him. He's certainly not like the globalist scumbags we have running things who are cowardly on top of being scum. Something more respectable about being a dictator who will actually fight. Also, rebels claim to be closing in. The Al-Qaeda rebels I'm supposed to love. I don't like Gaddafi or them, sorry, and I really don't like Al-Qaeda because I'm a bad person, I guess. Also, they've extended the rebel deadline another week. Now, this news is up on Infowars.com as well, but Drudge arranges it so well. Now, if you scroll down, this news was up there yesterday. Drudge Report has it. Man faces life in jail for recording police. I'm glad the folks over at the Drudge Report realize that's a big article. And we point to the local newscast where they say it's illegal to tape police. And we wrote an article exposing that it's a hoax and the cops know full well it's not illegal, which is really scary. If anything gets me scared, most of these cops I know mean well and got a tough job, but in some areas they're actual criminals. And trying to put a guy life in prison? I mean, one thing if it was a corrupt cop, didn't want something taped and grabbed a camera away or something, that's bad enough. They're going to put him in jail for prison? I mean, for life? And then under it, Drudge linked to our latest article, appeals court rules it is not illegal to film police. And we'll show folks that article as well. So double linked up on Drudge. And I've asked everybody to go get these articles and get them out to everybody you know. Both the article about man faces life in jail for recording police publicly. Publicly. And the second article, appeals court rules, it is not illegal to film police. Despite the mass hoax still being promulgated by the mainstream media and local authorities across America, the First Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that it is not illegal for citizens to videotape police officers when they're on public duty. Really, no kidding. There's no presumption of privacy in public. That's common law. That's just here's what's scary. When we did the research for this article yesterday, the first article, there are literally hundreds of court cases, federal and state, where the cops arrest people in the last few years and it gets thrown out. But rarely does it get thrown out at the county level. It has to go to a higher court. What suddenly happened to our local courts where these prosecutors know full well there's no presumption of privacy in public? That's how the police tape us. I mean, it really is scary that in 12 states, you've got crook cops and crook prosecutors, and it had to go to one of the top federal courts. I mean, above that appellate is the Supreme Court. I mean, how would a cop sleep at night? How would a prosecutor with some auto mechanic with no criminal record, and you're trying to put him in a box, in a cage for life? I feel bad when I travel and put the dogs in a travel cage for 5 hours driving because they don't like it and I can't communicate with them and they think they're in trouble. I mean, how on earth, where is your basic humanity? What? Well, where is it in North Korea or Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia or China? I mean, usually it isn't there. If you let corrupt people get in, they will recruit more corrupt people and we'll all be slaves. I'm going to say it right here. This miscarriage of justice, this false prosecution, this official oppression, this false arrest, manipulating juries and lying to them. People are getting convicted, going to jail for that stuff, who don't have money and don't know their rights. These police are guilty of all sorts of different crimes, racketeering, official oppression. I call it modern day slavery, putting you in one of these prison factories, you know, building stuff for 25 cents an hour. Until prosecutors start getting indicted and until cops start getting indicted for this, none of us are safe, because I've known three cases where my listeners have been arrested for absolutely no reason for giving out my videos. And then when I have called and talked to the newspaper reporters, the judges involved, they go, no, Mr. Rushing was very polite, didn't do anything. But they see these videos as threatening to police and charging with terroristic threats for a Ron Paul speech in one of my films. I mean, and then after he beat him in court, that's a rural area, he and his buddy were riding horses one Sunday afternoon, and they arrested him for drunken riding a horse, and Kelly didn't drink. He's not a drinker. And I couldn't believe that, so I called people randomly out of the online phone book in the town, and then they're like upstanding goody-two-shoes. So next, the state police took him to jail for riding horses drunk. I mean, this what happened to these men that they are so low down and have no honor that you would want to do something to somebody for no reason who's done nothing to you, and that you could sleep at night trying to put somebody in jail? Now, most police are not like that. I'm going to tell you right now that the system is trying to convert police over to this. I'm going to be honest. I've told this story. I've run into LAPD on the street that are, Alex Jones, we love your show. New York, you know, cops that do know me are nice. Others act like thugs. That's really the worst place I've been. I've been pulled over by the state police, I don't know, probably 7 times in the last 10 years, and I've been let off all but twice. I have had Austin police let me off tickets repeatedly. Just happened a few months ago. So, and I'm not saying that's the mark of a good cop, let me out of a ticket, but, you know, tell me they're listeners to the show. Well, just drive safer. I'm going to give you a warning. I give most people a warning, blah, blah, blah. No, but, you know, the one time one pulled me over, he goes, well, I'm going to still give you a ticket, but I like your show. That was out by near Crawford. I mean, you're driving through cornfields, and there's a school way back up some gravel road, and you don't see a little 40 mile. You're going 60. It goes to 40 and then back to 60. Clearly a speed trap. And I said, this is a speed trap, you know it. And he goes, well, that's what it's marked. I like your show. By the way, I heard this part of the show, but I'm still giving you the ticket. I'm not going to give you any favors. And then I didn't have my insurance. It was out of date. And he goes, no, I believe you got insurance. So I guess he, look, and I'm not saying that's the mark of a good cop that they like me or nice to me. I know most of you are just out there doing a job. But, man, you've got to speak out against trying to put some auto mechanic in jail for life over videotaping. I mean, is that the country you want your kids growing up in? And 12 states are doing it. I mean, they're arresting people, and it's spreading. Just 6 months ago or so, it was like 9 states. All right, I'm going to shut up and go to your calls, and I got some other news, but it's just been an overload today. And it would happen that I haven't been sick with a fever in probably a year, and I got a little fever last night. I have a sore throat and stuff today, right when I watched the TV show. Is that ill-omened? No, it's just coincidence. But that's why I'm a little bit all over the map here today. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. And when I got up at 5 a.m., I've been so busy that I didn't even attempt to gargle with salt. That's what I mean. I just something's wrong with me. Let's just go ahead here and go to your phone calls. How do I launch that phone call system on here? It's not launched on my computer. Oh, there it is. Just launched. Okay, let's talk to Jesse in Michigan. Jesse, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
One of those Vatican warlock assassin reptilian terrorists.
Well, join the club.
Oh, I did. I want to talk about a couple of things. Be real quick. You got to get to other callers, I know. First, Ron Paul. I'm a big Ron Paul supporter. I volunteered just yesterday to do phone calls and whatnot. Constitutionalist myself.
Well, that's awesome. What did you think of the interview yesterday where he said the CIA has an effective coup over the country? FEMA does want to stage violence so that they can bring in martial law, the FEMA camp issue. Rick Perry's a phony globalist. What was the term? Flip-flopper. That's some powerful info. We need to get Paul attacking the people that are trying to become him. And it's finally, Rick Perry was at a top Republican fundraiser last night. It's in my politics stack. I may have time to get to it. And top donors were like, You worked for for Al Gore, and you supported Hillary as late as 93, 94, and socialist health care. And now they're learning he was anti-gun when he was in the state legislature. They're now learning he's for totally open borders. I mean, look, I'd rather just keep Obama. I mean, if I'm going to get Rick Perry, I'd rather have someone who at least, you know, parades around with their socialism, you know, for the elite to steal our money. I mean, I hate Obama, but folks are waking up to him. He has an all-time low approval rating. Don't give me some fake Ronald Reagan, you know, guy with, you know, they're calling him the second coming of Ronald Reagan, who prances around and, you know, whose expense accounts are confirmed to be at transvestite bars. I mean, I just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, I know how you feel. I wouldn't vote for Obama, Perry, Romney, or Bachman if you paid me $1 billion.
No, I'm not either going to vote for him. The point is that you might as well vote for Obama, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to vote for Ron Paul. So
no, obviously, I'm not saying, I can see the headlines, Alex says vote for Obama. I'm saying Rick Perry is, I know him, I've tracked him. He's worse than Mitt Romney, worse than Obama. You cannot get worse than Rick Perry, and he's fooled so many people. I'm telling you, he is Bill Clinton on steroids. And so, yes, Ron Paul. All I'm saying is, Obama as their front man has been discredited. Okay, so now they're having trouble getting stuff through. With Rick Perry, when he comes in, conservatives are going to feel like they've won. And if he tells them all, you know, to dress your young, you know, football players in dresses and deliver them to his house, they'll do it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well,
he's a male cheerleader, sir. He's a male cheerleader, sir. He's a male cheerleader,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, he wishes he was a male cheerleader.
No, he was a male cheerleader.
Oh, he was? Oh.
Yes, sir. He was Al Gore's commander, his chief minion.
Oh, I know that.
I mean, it goes. He was Hillary's aide-de-camp endorsing the socialist health care worse than Obama's. I mean, you cannot, and you tell conservatives this, and they just say, I don't care. I love being conned. I want to get conned real bad, Alex. Okay, then fine. Limbaugh says it, they'll do it. Rick Perry could come out dressed as a woman. Republicans would fall down before him. He could call for total communism. They would slit their wrist begging him. Anything else, Jesse?
Well, I've also, I've got something I tried sending to writers@infowars.com, but apparently it got lost. And I'd like to be able to send it directly to you. I don't want to talk about it too much over the phone for you, obviously.
Jesse, here's the problem. I don't return world famous people's emails anymore. I don't call them back, nothing. I've gotten to the point where I'm totally obsessed with my operation and the TV show and don't even talk to family anymore. So I'm sorry I can't talk to you. Let's go ahead and talk to Johnny in Kansas. Johnny, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I'm going to shotgun you here real quick. I want to thank you and Joey for your tenacity to stay in the fight, man. It's been an awesome ride.
Well, we don't have a choice. I mean, we're ruled by male cheerleaders.
Absolutely. Love you, dude. Hey, your talk on the subject at hand of the insurrection, putting down the people's uprising.
Yes.
We've got the UN troops coming in October. I haven't confirmed on what the date is when they're going to roll that whole program out, but it's ironic that they're also firing up the Gwin Towers at the same time.
Well, what they're mainly doing is like, oh, yeah, Mexican troops now come in the U.S. to interdict drugs. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, we do have a deal with foreign troops. It's more just like, oh, it's the you're used to army on the streets now. Here's a foreign troop. Here's Hans. Here's Pablo. Hans is from Germany. Pablo's from Mexico. You know, they just do it. And I wasn't trying to be rude to the last caller. He says, I want to send you something. Yes, I want your tips. Yes, I want your info. But I've got to leave right when this show ends and go do all this other stuff, and I got a sore throat. So then just the idea of more info is almost makes me want to throw up. You know, it's kind of like a hot dog eating contest. I like hot dogs, but if I ever ate 300 of them, I never want another one. Anything else, Sean?
Yeah, I'll be praying for your throat, man.
Oh, my throat's fine. It's just yep, go ahead.
Sure. Ground Zero Ceremony. Here in a week or so, the reason why we got all the pontificates coming forward is they're doing ceremonies there, man. It's all in honor of what they got accomplished,
No, exactly. They're like, we don't want you here. And they always speak in little coded things, Bush especially. They're there to celebrate the wound in America that they believe destroyed the Republic. They're good terrorists. Thank you. And I know it's Johnny. The light was flashing for the next caller, Sean. Sean in Canada, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I'm actually calling in response to one of your callers that called in about 2 days ago, stating that she had a pharmacist friend that stated she had to meet quotas for some vaccinations. I'm actually a pharmacist currently practicing up here in Canada, and I manage a pharmacy owned by one of the large chains, and I can confirm this.
They tell you, you've got to push it on them. Kind of like when you go to Barnes & Nobles and they keep saying, take the loyalty card, take the loyalty card. Don't you want the loyalty card? And it's the same thing. I need to get that prescription, eye medicine, please. Don't you want the shot? It's so good for you. I'm sorry, go ahead. Tell us what you can confirm.
Well, I mean, in Canada anyways, I don't know about down there, but almost all pharmacists are now required to have at least one pharmacist that is licensed to perform injections. The government up here in the past year has been training pharmacists, actually, to inject in order to prepare for the coming epidemic. And they're actually telling us this. Like, they're training all of these pharmacists.
And they've got movies coming out about how it's coming. And then they'll have lots of plagues, only kill a few hundred thousand, then a few million. It'll get worse each phase, though.
Yep. And like I said, while I don't actually have a quota, I am really being pushed hard to encourage vaccinations, particularly flu and Gardasil. Like, it even goes so far as to print out automatically a printout for any person getting birth control filled. And it will state and it'll tell these girls they're in danger of HPV and that they should talk with their pharmacist about administering the vaccine. And I guess basically the reason I'm calling is just to tell you that you're right on the mark, like always.
Well, thank you, sir. I mean, what's happening is this is the new model of global healthcare. Doctors and pharmacists and experts, you aren't in charge now because you actually have the knowledge. The big corporates instruct you on what you can and can't do. I'm sure you've read the insert for the Gardasil. They even admit isn't proven to protect you, can hurt you. I mean, isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is. It totally is. And they're telling us, you know, to encourage us, particularly in pregnant women. And yet the most people that are telling us and other pharmacists that I know aren't giving it to their own families. Like, I didn't give it to my own wife.
Hold on. Stay there. I got a caller. Listen, on WBCR 1470 there in outside Knoxville. We're going to get to Doug and others after I finish up with Sean in Canada. But this is important because every pharmacist I know, they don't take one of these shots. Yep.
About a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad.
Folks, you say you want to fight the globalist. Well, I don't claim I have all the answers. I'm obnoxious. I've got my problems. But you know what? I don't want to be a slave. I'm willing to fight these people, and I don't care what they do to me. So if you stand with us, you'll become PrisonPlanet.tv members, and you'll watch the show, you'll download it, you'll share it with others. Every PrisonPlanet.tv membership, you're able to share it with, well, a total of 6 logins with the same login simultaneously. So one membership is really 6 memberships. It's $5.95 a month. It funds our operation. And we're developing this, yes, to try to put it on some cable systems and TV. We've had some offers, but it'll be spotty and sporadic around the world. But we'll reach millions. But we're already reaching millions by this information leaking out from PrisonPlanet.tv. So check out the new site, InfoWarsNews.com. Now, I want to go to Doug. We'll do 5 minutes overdrive. I'm doing RT today, too, and then my own show. The TV crew is going to kill me. They're like, you've got to start ending it, too. You've got to get in here. I was up here till 11 last night. Let's go ahead and finish up with Sean. Sean, it'd be cool to have doctors, nurses, pharmacists on sometime, but you know, the issue I was raising is they'll do these little insert printouts at Walgreens, CVS, and others, and it'll say, great shot, flu protects you. It isn't the real drug sheet, though. So people say, hey, this says it's safe, liar. I'm like, no, read the actual insert to hear about the Guillain-Barré and cancer and death. As a pharmacist who knows more on average than a doctor, you know, of the pharmacia, explain to people, if I'm telling the truth or not, that the fact sheet they give you is not the information that's on the actual drug insert.
It isn't, has nothing to do with the actual drug insert. It's basically the company paying whatever company that they're paying, in this case Rexall or Walgreens, in order to push their product. It's an advertisement for their product, essentially, is what it is. Saying, get this, you need this to protect you. It is not the actual insert. It doesn't go over any of the potential side effects. It is. You're right, exactly.
Well, we need pharmacists and others. That's the problem with it not being little local pharmacists you trust anymore, but all these mega marts. They admit that's the only thing expanding in our economy now is not even Walmart. It's only CVS and Walgreens. That's the biggest retail expansion. I mean, I live out in the country, and there's two of them. There's two of them. I mean, I live out with cows around me. You're driving down, road onto off a dirt road onto a main road, and there's the drugstore with everybody there getting their drugs. And every pharmacist I know says the same thing. My dad's a physician. He says the same thing. But I always say read the insert. So since I've been saying that and others have, they go, well, I got the insert when I got it. And you're lying. It doesn't say that. That's the little drug company baloney sheet. But by law, they've still got to have the actual little paper folded up in tiny print on both sides. What do they call those sheets, pharmacist?
Well, just like a drug information sheet, an official product monograph.
Yeah, exactly. It'll even have the molecule of the drug on the back, correct?
Exactly. And if it doesn't have that, what you're basically saying is an advertisement for the product, is all it is.
Other pharmacists you talk to, that's why I wanted to hold you over, and we appreciate your time, sir. You're saying they don't take it themselves.
A lot of them that I know don't. I mean, there's always those that are just brainwashed into the system. I mean, they're telling us it's good, give it out. But I know, like in my case, I didn't give it to when the H1N1 scare was on. They were really pushing it to give pregnant women. And I know I didn't give it to my wife. And I recommend that patients that come in here that they don't get them.
So. But that's my next point. Every physician, every pharmacist is taught until 2 years ago, never give a vaccine to a pregnant woman. Correct? Correct, sir?
You're right. And now they're pushing them, as of particularly last year.
It causes it. It is so incredible. Call me back again. 1 minute break. I got to take a few more and that's it. 5 minutes overdrive. Then tonight, 7 o'clock, Central.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're in overdrive. Then I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock Central. At InfoWarsNews.com for the nightly news. Let's go to Doug in Tennessee, one of our oldest and greatest affiliates, WBCR. Great folks down there. Welcome, 1470 listener.
Well, thank you, Alex. Appreciate you taking my call. I wanted to say on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 how vitally important it is for everyone to get this information out as much as possible. The people are ready to listen. My wife and I set up a table in a very public place frequented by people from all over the eastern United States, and we get all kinds of eager people interested in finding out this information. One of the lines on our sign I took directly from you, which I think is an excellent summation of the whole problem. I heard you say this one day on your show, big government is the tool for corporate looting. And I think that's just an excellent summation of what we're facing.
Well, you could, exactly. If you study history, you can have whatever great wishes you want. And that's why they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Big things can do a lot of good, but big things can do a lot of bad. And bad people always lust after getting control of big, powerful systems. And so you build a big, giant structure, maybe a good guy or good woman's in control for a while. But slowly, lustful people get into control and misuse that power. I mean, even in small organizations, you'll get people, if you have power, that you catch under you misusing it. I don't have anybody doing that today, but I've definitely had people in here before. And I had to learn by experience. It's like Spider-Man's uncle says, with great power comes great responsibility. And big government doesn't work unless you call enslaving and stealing and creating giant corporate combines. But I didn't discover any of this. Thomas Jefferson talked about, if we ever let these big private banks control the issuance of our currency, they're going to transfer all power to themselves, and we're going to be slaves.
I wondered if you're aware yet that you are now being personally attacked on the pages of the American Free Press by Victor Thorne.
I could care less, man. I mean, it's, look, there are a lot of people that are just heavy-duty jealous of me. And I guess because they didn't work till 11 o'clock last night. And they didn't get up at 5 a.m. this morning. I mean, most people wake up sick. They go, they're coming into work. Me, I cough some blood up and, you know, have a nosebleed and get my butt in here. I'm not playing games with people. And I'm because I realize what's happening and what's going on. And, of course, I'm attacked. Of course, stuff goes on constantly. And that's because a lot of people are COINTELPRO or operatives. I don't know who or which. People like Hal Turner and others always try to attack who they see as the big dog. Because if they attack the big dog, maybe the big dog will talk about them, and then they'll get, you know, some of what the big dog's got. But you know what? You don't want to have what the big dog's got. You don't want to have the black circles around your eyes. You don't want to have the obsession with news and information. You don't want to be so addicted to truth and liberty that you can't do anything else but fight tyranny. I am someone completely given over to resistance to tyranny. And I'm saying you don't want that. People out there that are just looking for power and notoriety and their name to get out there, you wouldn't know what to do with it if you had it for 10 seconds. You wouldn't know what the burden of true service is. You wouldn't have any idea, okay? And that it's a responsibility. So whatever, I don't even really know what you're talking about. There's all sorts of people out there that attack me 24/7 and make up a million different lies. And there's all these other websites that will amalgamate all the lies that even contradict each other. And great, good, because it isn't about Alex Jones. I'm here on a mission to wake people up to not trust the system and get involved and get informed and try to restore basic liberty. And that's what I'm doing. God bless you, my friend. Okay, we're out of time. Join us in this fight against tyrants tonight, 7 o'clock. And if you missed the first live transmission of it, we're going to re-air it right after it ends. And then coming up in the future, once we have hundreds and hundreds of these shows, we're going to have a whole channel going. And then new shows and other hosts and other reporters. I got all sorts of plans, but it's up to you. I built it. Will you come?